Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is brought to you by our sponsor, KFC. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 130-110 win over the Utah Jazz. And, you know, you just got to tell people ahead of time, like, if you are coming to Scotiabank Arena and, you know, you're wearing anything other than the words Raptors or Toronto on your chest, just don't expect anything, because the Raptors are now 9-0 at home. This game was supposed to be tough against Utah. Like, it, you know, they're a pretty good team. They're above 500. They're very competitive in the Western Conference. Made some nice moves in the offseason to get Mike Conley and Bogdan Bogdanovic. It's a little confusing. There's two guys in the league with very similar names, but they were supposed to be very competitive. And they are a competitive team, but the Raptors just, I mean, they just own this team straight up. Like, the Raptors went up 77-37 at halftime. That's 40 points. That's a franchise record. The Raptors won the first quarter 37-20 and won the second quarter 40-17. And It was almost a joke. It was pure comedy, really. The only tension in the first half was whether or not the Raptors would actually get to that number 40. And it was a little dicey there. I think Bogdanovic had a putback that, I don't know, cut the lead to like 38 or something. And then he had a free throw on the N1 and he got down to 37. And the Raptors had final possession of the ball. And Pascal, you know, had four guys on the floor with him, obviously teammates. You know, he told them all to spread out. Let me just go one-on-one against Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic, at that point, had been getting cooked defensively. He's, you know, not necessarily a bad defender, but definitely not a plus defender. And, Pascal just drove right at the guy. You know, Bogdanovic just started backing up. He really just kept backing up, really. There was the fear of Pascal going to the rim was so high. And Pascal just said, all right, if you're going to keep backing up, I'm just going to pull up. And he pulled up. Switched the three, 40 at halftime, and honestly, like, you know, I honestly think it's a little bit hard to play with a 40-point lead. I'm not even trying to joke on that. I mean, I really do mean that, like, because the Raptors, you know, they didn't come out with the right intensity in the third quarter, I would say, when you look at the scoreline. In the third quarter, the box score is kind of nuts. You know, the Jazz had 49 points in the third quarter. The Raptors had 30. So offensively, everything was working, but defensively, it just wasn't happening. The Jazz actually scored on 19 of 20 possessions at one point, and it was kind of, I don't know, awe-inspiring in a way. I mean, when you have a 40-point advantage, obviously you're not going to play with intensity, and you're not going to come out with that same focus. As much as I'm sure Nick Nurse went into halftime and said, hey, great job, guys. Let's just make sure we come out in the second half with some intensity and see this game out. And, you know, the Jazz, though, you know, they definitely came out. They threw their best punch. This is a team that's a good team, a prideful team, and, of course, they would want to come out with their best effort. And really, Donovan Mitchell was the one that came out, gave the Raptors a bunch of problems. He got into the lane repeatedly. And either he would kick out for three or he would create something at the rim, either for himself or for guys like Gobert to either finish on the dump off or on the putback. And it was really amazing how, like, in basically 5 minutes, they had trimmed 20 points off the Raptors' lead. And it was down to, like, 15 points at one point. And the Raptors finally at that point was like, all right, enough is enough. Nick Nurse went back to his starters in the fourth quarter there with 8 minutes and 30 seconds to go. The Jazz still had their bench at that point. And then immediately, literally immediately, Fred VanVleet hits a three. Fred finds OG for a lob and a dunk. And the lead's back to 20. Everything's all good. Raptors are able to clear out their bench. The Jazz actually never put their starters back into the game, which was a little bit surprising at the time because they had some momentum and they were really doing some things. But, you know, when you think about the fact that they're playing tomorrow in Philadelphia and then they return home to play the Los Angeles Lakers on Wednesday. It's not surprising that Quinn Snyder decided to go for the rest strategy there, but you know, there was just a bit of dicey moments. But on the whole, man, the Raptors, I mean, come on. If I told you before the game that the Raptors are going to beat the Jazz by 20 points, and at one point they're going to be up 40, I don't think you'd be complaining. And so, you know, even though, you know, it's not necessarily the most satisfying win, just because of the conditions of the comeback and how sort of, you know, slightly unnerving it was in the third quarter and maybe at part of the fourth quarter there, it was still a great game of the Raptors. And yeah, I mean, again, the same thing every time, you know, like offensively, the Raptors are going to have their nights and they're going to be hot. And I think tonight was one of those nights where, you know, they were definitely hitting a lot of shots. I mean, they had hit the unnamed fast food promo. I won't say what name it is, but they hit that promo by halftime. Like before halftime, the Raptors already had 12 3-pointers, and Pascal drills a three at the end of the second quarter there to push it to 13. And the Raptors have now hit 40 threes. They hit 21 against. They've hit like 43s or something like that. I don't know, man. It's just been a very, very amazing stretch here. Yeah, they had 21 against the Magic, and tonight they had what, 19 3-pointers. So it's just great to see. And you know, the habit here is like, okay, offensively they're gonna come hot, they're gonna get cold, whatever. But defensively they're just able to just take teams out of their offense entirely. Now, obviously Utah had that 49-point quarter, and you know, it's hard to praise the defense on a night when that happens. But at the same time, you look at the first half, Utah had 37 points at halftime. You know, not a single one of their players were playing well offensively. You know, Bogdanović, he's been averaging 20 in the season. He had 11 tonight. All of the shots that he made tonight were also quite difficult. You know, he snuck in for two putbacks or whatever, but that's clearly how the offense working if he gets a putback. You know, they left Russ O'Neal open for five threes. He hit two of them. Whatever, you'll live with it. He's the fifth option. They had Gobert was just completely silent. I mean, at one point in the first half, Gobert went to the rim, and I think Fred was under there because it was a late rotation. And Gobert missed the layup. Like, literally, it was just a finger roll. It wasn't even like he drove in with full speed or whatever. He just straight up missed the finger roll. Mike Conley was quite cold in the first half. And also, Donovan Mitchell was cold in the first half. And on the whole, I mean, obviously, those guys, you know, caught fire a little bit in the third quarter when the Jazz exploded. But at the same time, you look at it, the end results, the Jazz shot 42% from the field. And they had 18 turnovers. And you know, this is actually one of the Raptors' worst defensive efforts, and that's kind of amazing when you think about it, because the Raptors defense clamped this team. Like, they really made them impossible to do anything. Like in that second quarter there, where the Jazz only had 17 points, the Raptors had so many plays where the ball gets in the middle of the floor and the Raptors would just collapse at the rim. The guards would dig in and provide help. Obviously Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka, who returned tonight, were obviously massive in the paint. You got Pascal Siakam, who's got length. You got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's who's also a willing defender and a shot blocker in his own right. And yeah, it was just funny to see Utah go in there time after time and not get any success. That was also funny that Utah basically ran the exact same plays in the third quarter and they scored 49 points. So that was, you know, whatever. It just goes to show sort of the ebbs and flow of a game. But at the same time, the Raptors defense was quite good in that first half. Probably the best I've actually seen them play this year. And there's been a lot of moments. And a lot of that just leads to easy baskets in transition for the offense. Norman Powell was hot. Yeah, Fred VanVleet was great from start to finish. I really liked his game tonight. OG had his moments. Pascal obviously did his thing. And, you know, even the bench came in and gave them something. I wouldn't say it was a great game from the bench, but in the first half, Terrence Davis was really solid. Got to the rim a couple of times. Second half was a little bit more invisible, but, you know, you expect that from a rookie. He's kind of been up and down this year, but when he's up, he's really up. You know, he hit two threes, you know, got to the rim a couple of times, Terrence did. Rondae hit a turnaround jumper, which I think he was an and one, maybe, but it was a four-bounce baseline jumper, which is always brings a smile to your face as a Raptor fan, given that some other small forwards have done that in the past, very recent past. And also, Rondae had a play in the third quarter there where he got Mike Conley switched up. He faced up against him, crossed over, and pulled up right from the elbow area and switched it. And Rondae's game is just very, very interesting altogether. Rondae had a good game. And, of course, Serge returned. So Serge got back from his injury, and you know, he gave us, what, 13 points. He didn't shoot the ball 14 times. Definitely was trying to find his rhythm. The first half wasn't there for him. He was missing some open shots, was a little out of rhythm. You know, all the shots were makeable, especially for Serge, but he was just off slightly. And then the second half there, he sort of found his rhythm. He had a corner three-pointer, and then the next time down, he got, I think, a loose ball, and the rap, and then Serge, you know, went up for an and-one over Rudy Gobert, which is not easy. Gobert, obviously, is a defensive player of the year. And then, you know, Serge also had a nice play in the fourth quarter there, where it was sort of a just like a standard play with Norman Powell, where Norman Powell lifts up from the corner, comes up top to get the ball, then turns and drives inside, and the help defender comes over. Norm made a very quick pass over to Serge, who was cutting baseline, went straight up for the layup, and you know, hit the little 5-foot push shot. So Serge was okay, up and down. Definitely got a huge, huge ovation from the crowd when he returned. Serge is clearly a fan favorite, and yeah, I mean, you know, he was good. He's good. He gave us the Serge Ibaka meme face again, the one where he scrunches his face and looks real fierce. But, you know, it was just good vibes all around. I mean, you know, the third quarter, again, it was just really funny because the crowd went from, like, losing their minds to the little ball is playing at halftime, and then all of a sudden the Raptors come out and, like, pretty much almost give the game away. Obviously, they had a 40-point advantage, so they didn't give the game away, but the crowd went real, real quiet. But in the fourth quarter, the Raptors you know, got control of the game again. And, yeah, so, I mean, the guy you got to focus on tonight was Pascal Siakam. The man had 35 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, plus 18 in 35 minutes. Pascal leads the league in plus minus, and I don't think that will change after today when he had another plus 18. Shot 14 of 22 from the field, including 5 and 9 from deep. And that's the thing, man. If Pascal hits his threes, like, that's a 30-point game. And I looked over the numbers. Pascal has already had 4 games this season with 5 made threes. And if you look at it, last year he didn't do that even once. So it's just a sign of how much more Pascal has improved. You know, the Jazz dared Pascal to shoot his threes, and he definitely was willing to pull up and shoot it in their eye in different scenarios. When the defense dropped back, he was able to shoot. When, you know, his catch and shoot opportunities, he was there to space the floor and knock it down confidently. But most importantly, I mean, what I liked about Pascal's game today was just seeing in real time how difficult it was for a very good defense in the Jazz. The Jazz are, you know, a very solid defensive club. I don't feel like they're that solid without Gobert on the floor. I feel like last year when they had Favors, I think it was a little bit more the results are a little bit better than when they had Ed Davis. Although Ed played okay today, defensively at least. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just seeing this very, very good defense in real time try to cope with Pascal Siakam was just very entertaining to watch. So at first, the Jazz came out with a strategy. They were going to double the post against Pascal. So every time Pascal had the ball in the post, because if you look at the starting lineup for the Jazz, they don't really have a natural power forward, right? Because you have Conley and Mitchell at 1 and 2, whatever, that's fine. A little bit small, but whatever, that's fine. Royce O'Neal and Bogdanović play the forward positions. Both of those guys are small forwards, and so in this case, O'Neal is a better defender, so he guarded Pascal, although Bogdanović also took turns on Pascal. And then you got Gobert, who is you know, an elite shot blocker, and he's able to protect the rim and sort of cover up for everybody else. But, you know, they don't have a natural power forward, so they couldn't really guard Pascal one-on-one. So they had Gobert double Pascal in the post early in the game. The thing is, though, Gobert, I don't know if it was a game plan to sort of soft double or not, but Gobert came over really slowly, and he was really in the wrong place where, in terms of, like, you see the Raptors, for example, they play a lot of help defense, but everyone's in the right positions, and the help defense is effective. When Marc Gasol is swarming all over you, he's not just making it hard for you to shoot, but he's making it hard for you to pass because he's so close, he's so up on you, his hands are always up, and, like, his standing reaches pretty much 10 feet, so I don't know how you're going to pass for the top of this guy. So, you know, that's what good help defense looks like. In this case, Gobert came over, was real slow, real soft, hands down. You know, wasn't really in position to pressure Pascal's pass while also not being in position to cut off the target. And so Pascal made 2 great passes in the first quarter there that really got the Jazz to sort of change their minds. Pascal hit Marc Gasol in the corner on a baseline pass. The Raptors this season have been really, really good at using the baseline and passing and finding people open. And it's not just Pascal. It's everybody on the team. You know, Norm's done it a couple times. Fred's done it a couple times. And it's not always just set plays where it's like that hammer play where you're throwing the pass by design. It's just the Raptors kind of probe. They explore. They have good spacing. And when a double team comes, they're very cognizant of the weak side shooter. But so Pascal, he finds Mark open for 3. Mark hits that 3. And then, of course, Pascal also has one play where they're doubling the post and Marc Gasol makes a cut through the middle of the lane. Pascal finds him and Mark throws down the dunk. It was actually funny. Marc Gasol was actually his second dunk of the season, which is real surprising. But Mark had 11 points in the first quarter. A lot of that was because the Jazz kept doubling Pascal. And so, midway through the first quarter, the Jazz call timeout. Quinn Snyder decides, you know what? No more doubling Pascal. We got to make sure we play it straight up and take our chances. And immediately when Pascal saw this, he went to work against Royce O'Neal. Like he got Royce O'Neal in the paint. And Royce O'Neal is a pretty tough defender. He looks like Paul George, but he's just also a pretty tough defender. But he just like bodies O'Neal. O'Neal like is like pushed backwards basically. No foul in the play, just a straight up just strength in the post. And Pascal's able to get separation going for the layup uncontested. And then I think it was Ingles that checked into the game after the first time out. He's their sixth man. Ingles checks in the game. He's guarding Pascal. And Pascal just, like, completely turns the corner on him and goes to the rim for a layup. And that's how I won for the rest of the game. Like, the Jazz didn't really double Pascal that much, after the first quarter. And Pascal just got whatever he wanted. It wasn't just the three-pointers. It was just a parade of baskets, for out of the post-up. And it's been nice to see because low-key, very, very low-key, Pascal has been not as good on the post-up this year. Last year he was, like, one of the most efficient post-up players in the NBA. This year, because teams are focusing more on him defensively, showing more double teams, giving him more premium defenders because Kawhi's not there, and also because Pascal's just kind of been off. He's missed some makeable shots, and so some of those shots haven't gone in for him in the post. But at the same time, Pascal tonight was just unstoppable in the post, and it was really nice to see. In that third quarter there, when the Raptors needed some offense, just to keep pace with the Jazz, like they were playing okay offensively, but they just needed baskets because the Jazz were scoring every single time down. And the guy that was consistently a bucket for the Raptors was Pascal Siakam. So I loved what he did tonight, and of course that played it in the first half, right? That is, for me, that's the KSC bucket of the game. Just because I love seeing those little moments where Pascal is really confident and almost borderline arrogant. Pascal is a very humble player, and especially for superstars. I don't think he realizes he's a superstar yet, but like especially for a superstar, a guy who's giving you superstar level productions, he's very, very humble. He's very, very soft spoken. He's very willing to put in the hard work, and he doesn't really carry himself with the type of ego that you would normally expect from a superstar. But sometimes during the middle of the game, Pascal will have that superstar confidence, and like I said, the KFC bucket of the game tonight was Pascal. At the end of the first half, he takes a he peeps the shot clock. He sees that they're up 37, and he's like, "All right, bet I'm gonna put us up 40." And Bogdanović kept backing off because he was afraid of Pascal's drive. Pascal just pulls up right in his eye, 40 points going into halftime, a franchise record naturally, and just a great moment. And honestly, why not? Why wouldn't Pascal be confident? It's funny because Nick Nurse said after that Magic game where he shot 4 of 22, it was just pretty much his worst game of the year. Nick Nurse, the prescient man that he is, said that, "Oh yeah, Pascal, he had an off night, but look, listen, the next time he's going to come back with 36. That's usually what happens. And what does Pascal do tonight? 35 points. And really didn't play that much. He only played 35 minutes. So, great game from Pascal. The other guy had an amazing, amazing game was Fred VanVleet, who Kyle Lowry, there was a chance that Kyle was going to come back tonight. He didn't come back. Serge came back tonight. It seems like Kyle could come back for Tuesday against the Heat. Fred, though, I mean, he has been excellent in Kyle Lowry's absence. Fred is now averaging like 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 7.5 assists with Kyle out, shooting above 40% from three. And also playing elite defense, elite defense, especially for a guy of his size. He just is great. And today, more great defense from Fred. He didn't get 7 steals like he did against the Magic, but he definitely created a lot of disruptions in the first half. And just he was just great throughout. Like when the crowd went kind of quiet, the rest of the team kind of went a bit quiet. It wasn't like Marc Gasol was doing much scoring in the second half or OG or any of these other guys. It was Fred who kind of just stepped up and was like, "I don't care that the Jazz are making this little comeback. That's cool. That's real cute. But I'm Fred VanVleet. I'm Steady Freddy. I'm going to be real chill. I'm going to be real calm. I'm going to give us a three-pointer. I'm going to give us a drive here or there. I'm going to throw a nice lob to OG for a highlight dunk." And Fred just, never lost his composure. It was the same thing against the Magic. Fred was the number one driving force, behind, obviously, Norman Powell against the Magic. And a lot of that wasn't even because Fred was having a great game. It was just Fred was just real calm, and he did his thing. And it was kind of the same deal tonight. I mean, 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 11 assists in 32 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting from the field, 5 of 7 from deep, including 4 of 4 from the free throw line as well. You know, Fred is just excellent. He's just so, so good. And he's really proven doubters wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, against it, it was like, oh, man, against elite teams, Fred can't do anything. But then, you know, okay, I wouldn't say, you know, Philly's elite. Definitely not the way they're playing right now. But Fred has, what, 24 points against Philly? And that was a team that had given so much problems in last year's playoffs. And, you know, against the Jazz, another great defense with a great shot block in Rudy Gobert. And honestly, Mike Conley played great defense on Fred VanVleet. Definitely pestered him a lot. But still, Fred gives you 21 and 11 with no turnovers. None. In 32 minutes. So you just got to give it up to Fred, man. He has really stepped up this year. It's like, remember finals Fred? You know, post-baby, post-paternity, you know, Fred. You know, just, you know, killing it in the finals. Like, that Fred is just Fred every single day now. Like, Fred does this every day. You know what I mean? Like, plus 19 in 32 minutes. Fred was just awesome. Awesome. And, you know, I think to that fourth quarter stretch where, okay, the Raptors, they had pretty much just, like, messed around, you know, weren't taking the game that seriously. And then, okay, they tried to turn it back on, but at that point, the Jazz were rolling, and the Raptors trying to get control of the game, and it just wasn't happening. And the Raptors had saw their lead go from 40 to 15. So a 15-point lead is still a 15-point lead, but still, to lose it from 40 is a pretty big drop. And Nick decides to put Fred in the game. He puts Pascal in the game, and he puts Marc Gasol in the game. And all of a sudden, Fred VanVleet gives you a three-pointer and the assist, and all of a sudden, the lead is back to 20. And that's just the quality you love from Fred. That's leadership. That's in-game leadership. You cannot rattle this guy. This guy is, you know, even against the Sixers series, I remember, you know, talking to Fred at one point in that series, and I was just like, you know, what's going on with you in the bench? Like, is this the length? Is it everything? And he's like, honestly, I've been undersized my whole life, so this is nothing new for me, and the shots just aren't dropping right now, but they will. And, of course, no one knew at the time that he was expecting a child. But, yeah, Fred was remarkably calm in that Sixers series, too, and that was a series where he only made 3 shots in 7 games. And now he's just, again, like I mentioned, he's Finals MVP Fred every single game. Like, 21-11 with 5 rebounds against an elite defense is nothing to scoff at. I liked what Norm did tonight, too. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. Just very active. I made a lot of great plays. His confidence, obviously, after the 33-point game was great. You know, you missed a shot here or there, but, like, you know, for the most part, very effective, very efficient in transition, as he always is. Knocked down 2 of 5 from deep, which is a decent percentage. I like the playmaking, too. You know, it's not like Norm has the ball in his hands that much. He's mostly a finisher, so he's not going to be a guy that records a lot of assists, but I liked his little dime to little drop-off dime to Serge Ibaka in the fourth quarter, and also he had a great hit-ahead pass to Pascal Siakam, who was streaking ahead of the pack for a layup that really just kind of, you know, put a bow in the game, and at that point, you know, Raptors, I think, got back up like 20 to 24 points or something like that, and you know, Nick was able to pull his starters back out. And so I liked what Norm did tonight. Very well-rounded game, and the steals is great, too. I, you know, Norm was assigned to guard Bogdanović tonight, or Bojan Bogdanović. Man, I keep confusing the two of them. And Norm did a great job. Like, Bogdanović averaging 20 on the season today. He had 11 points, 5 of 14 shooting. So that's a great effort from him. I thought Mark did a great job in terms of just, you know, his quarterbacking of the offense. Like, he had 11, 5, and 6. And really, Mark, his spacing from the center position is just such a luxury. Like, I thought Gobert tonight just, I don't know, didn't really have a purpose. You know, and that's not defensive player of the year we're talking about, but he was guarding Gasol, but, you know, he just couldn't ever decide whether he was going to stick with Gasol and deny the three-point shot or, you know, double team and provide help with the rim. And Gasol just made so many things happen in terms of stretching the floor. Like, part of the reason why Gasol is such a great playmaker at the top of the key is because he drags the center out, and so the paint is clear for people to cut into and stuff like that. And that's why Mark gets like 2-3 assists a game just by finding cutters going inside. Like, he found Pascal rolling to the basket early in the game. And just Mark's ability to organize the offense as a center while also spacing the floor is just, it's a nice boost to the offense, even though he's not scoring much. And today, though, he did have 11 points all in the first quarter. But, you know, Mark actually had a pretty good offensive game. So I just, you know, ho-hum, the Raptors just beat another team. They improved the 9-0 at home. They're 15-4 on the season. We'll see where they rank in power rankings and stuff like that. But again, like I said last week, man, like, I don't care about power rankings. I care about championships, and the Raptors have a championship, and they're the defending champions, and they're playing honestly every single bit like a defending champion. They're about to get the the quarter mark of the season. They've played 19 games so far. They're 15-4. And must I remind you, everybody was saying how Raptors went, 17-5 without Kawhi last year in the lineup. People were like, well, you know, that's not sustainable. They play a lot of trash teams, and they had Danny Green for that stretch. You know, you can't expect that from this team. Well, guess what? Kawhi Leonard ain't here. Danny Green ain't here. They're 15-4. It's a better record than 17-5. So we'll see where they are in 22 games. But, you know, it's going to be tough. The upcoming months is going to be tough. In December, which starting today, obviously, they played the Jazz. But in the month of December, they play 15 games, 10 of them are against teams above 500. You know, they got Boston twice. Boston's been playing well this year, unfortunately, the frauds. You know, they got, you know, Miami coming up a couple times. They got, obviously, Kawhi coming back with the Clippers. Houston later this week, and the Raptors have really not played Houston that well, you know, last season. I think they lost both games to Houston, and I'm a little curious to see how they're going to do against Houston. James Harden is definitely on a roll. He just had 60 points in three quarters. Granted, that was against you know, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Raptors on the Hawks, but you know, still, the man's scoring 60 points. That's a difficult defensive assignment. So we'll see where the Raptors are. I think, you know, Kyle Lowry coming back, hopefully for Tuesday against the Heat, will put this roster, make them complete. Hopefully, we'll get to see how they are against, you know, the top tier competition in the league. Because honestly, if they survive the month of December and they're still like a top three seed in the East, then they're gonna roll. Because if you look at their January schedule and their February schedule, it's light. It's very, very light, and I think they can make a serious push. Like, you know, you don't want to jinx anything, but right now the Raptors are on pace for like plus 60 wins, and I mean, that's just kind of incredible to think about. So in terms of your three stars, Pascal, obviously your first star tonight, 35 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 14 of 22 from the field, 5 and 9 from the three-point line. I don't know for the life of me why this man never gets to the free throw line. He definitely takes contact. Referees just don't call it. He's got one of the lowest free throw rates of any high usage player in the NBA. Only shot 2 free throws tonight. He made both of those. But it doesn't matter, man. The man's efficient regardless. Like, you know, he's going to hit the threes, and he's going to hit the post-ups. And when he does that, it's 30 points every time. Second start, we add to Fred VanVleet. 21 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 5 of 7 from deep, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, a steal, no turnovers, plus 19 in 32 minutes. Fred, man, this it's no more doubt. This man is a starting point guard in the NBA, 100%. And then your third star, a couple ways you go with it. I thought Marc Gasol had an amazing first quarter, and he was very important in the win. You know, but you know, I'm gonna give it to Norman Powell, man. Norm has played great. I think he's gonna move back to the bench, obviously, when Kyle comes back. So that's gonna kind of suck for Norm, because he has really played well as a starter, and he continued that tonight. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, 6 of 12 from the field, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Great defense, as I mentioned, on Bogdanovich. In 33 minutes for Norm. So he's really made a case for himself. Hopefully he can maintain this production off the bench. But it's nice to know that, you know, if he needs to be called upon as a starter, he can really step up and give you starter-level production. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award tonight, that's got to go to Jeff Green, obviously. this guy had 19 points in 15 minutes, 6 of 11 from the field. 6-6 in the free throw line. He dunked on Serge at one point. He's hitting some threes. It was just weird to watch Jeff Green be effective, because you kind of know he's not that good on a nightly basis, which is why he's a Gerald Henderson Award winner. Like, literally, he's, you know, not supposed to do this, and he did this. And then in terms of your Pat Patterson Award, it's a little tough. I'm not really sure where to go with this. The Jazz definitely had a lot of candidates before they made that push in that third quarter, but I'm still going to give it to Rudy Gobert. I think I just think that for a guy who's the defensive player of the year, to allow a team to give you 130 points is it's a reflection, you know, of what you did. And you know, he did okay offensively, 12 points, 11 rebounds. That's what he normally does. But yeah, minus 21 for Rudy Gobert in 28 minutes. He is your Pat Patterson Award winner. And so, thanks everyone for listening. Again, I tried out the live stream thing on Yahoo Sports Canada, and I got some feedback after I tried it against the Magic. Hopefully more people are watching today. And if you like the live format, actually it really doesn't change anything, but just if you like that it's live, and so you don't have to wait for the upload to go up, leave me a comment on Twitter at @Wim_Lou, and that'll sort of determine whether or not, you know, I sort of consistently keep it like this, whenever I can find a chance. Or, you know, if I just go back to the old format of just posting a podcast, then posting the video and things like that. So let me know if you like this format. And yeah, thanks to our sponsor, KFC, for supporting the program. And yeah, I'll be back on Tuesday when the Raptors play host to the Miami Heat, who are very good this year. But I don't know, man. The Raptors are 9-0 at home. They're pretty damn good, too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.